And welcome on into a special edition of Sports Talk. Good morning, everybody. We're out at 2900 Vets near Causeway out in Metairie at Rouse's. Come on out and see us until 1 o'clock. Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. I got to ask here, guys, before we get into sports this morning. I heard a couple of big-time debates this week regarding turkey or ham for Thanksgiving.
How about both?
Both? Okay, like both.
Yeah.
How about a turducken? I'm always just like a fried turkey.
How about
plain
all
turkey
three? A three-peat. I don't know.
How are you cooking it?
Fried. As long as you don't blow anything up, I feel like fried's the best.
Well, the thing is,
how you cooking it.
Yeah, if you have the resources, why not go with all three? Now, if you don't have the resources, you got to go with turkey.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, turkey's number one. I would say ham. But listen, if you go turducken, ham, turkey, if you can have it all, have a feast, why not? Now, you make a turkey sandwiches for maybe, for sure, a week, if not a little more.
Yeah, for about three or four days.
Yeah.
So, turkey soup. That's what my mom used to do. I never liked the turkey soup.
Turkey soup unless you're freezing it now.
Well, she did. That's what she would do.
Is that a Northwest thing, turkey soup?
Well, whatever it was, I don't want anymore.
Yeah,
sorry, Mom.
Chili.
I've never heard of that. Turkey chili, but I never heard of turkey soup. That must be up in the Northwest.
Yeah, well, you can get all your Thanksgiving stuff right here from Rouse's. And Deuce, you should be very honored. You're with the official Rouse's supermarket spokesperson here. We are in the midst of greatness honor here with Bobby Hebert.
I had to give him some room, too. I had to redecorate over here a little bit.
Listen, we were at the coffee club right here at Rouse's, too. Appreciate they come out
every
here.
Every Saturday morning. They got their coffee black, straight up. How you take your coffee? Regular, strong coffee.
Yeah, they tell old war stories. Some of them are true, some are not. You know, you kind of stretch the truth. You know how we tell them stories.
Bobby, you were fitting right in then.
I know. Hey, listen.
He was 30 minutes over here talking right before.
Listen, I'm only about 10 years from joining this club.
It's Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Seth Dunlap again live out at Rouse's. We will be here until 1 o'clock. We're talking a lot of sports, a lot of football today. And before we get into the nuts and bolts here of Saints, Eagles, and the NFL, LSU, and college football, I just got to thinking this week, and you guys should have a great perspective on this, is this the best era, top to bottom, of big-time football here in Louisiana? We've obviously got the Saints here. Most people now consensus best team in the NFL. LSU, exceeding expectations, got a chance to win 10 and 11 games after a bowl. Nicholls State, conference champions, they're in the playoff for the second straight year, and even Tulane's got a chance to get a bowl eligible. Is this the best we've seen it, guys, top to bottom?
Well, yeah, when you look at everyone who's competing and then the hunt, you always want to be in the hunt. I'd have to do more investigation into that, but right now I just look at the Saints. Man, the Saints are so relevant, it's freaking crazy. I don't know. It's like you want to be humble, but it's hard to be humble when you're great. It's hard when you can't back it up. Now, listen, the Eagles, it does matter when you play a team. They decimated with injuries. But when I look at the Eagles, they are so desperate. They're like a wounded animal in the corner. You know, all of a sudden they come back to bite you. But the Saints are so mature as a team, I think they can handle that. They know they just cannot show up, even though it's in the Superdome and win. So that's why, listen.
Now, I'm surprised you're all Saints here with Nicholls doing what they're doing right now. That surprises me a little bit.
Nicholls is doing well, and they qualify for the FCS playoff. But also, there's an outside shot for Southern and Grambling next week for the Bayou Classic to be able to get in. And the SWAC Championship, I guess about a month ago, they changed their philosophy. Originally, they were going to be in Birmingham for the SWAC Championship. It moved from Houston going back to Birmingham. But with UAB doing so well, they're going to host as well. And so that field, Legion Field, is going to be busy for both of those days. It's December the 1st. So now whoever basically leads or the champion in the SWAC Championship as far as the East and the West, they will host. And so there's an outside shot. And I know next week both Southern and Grambling Bayou Classic, it's an outside shot. Depends on what happened today between Jackson State and Alcorn on one side. But there's an outside shot that, Southern may be hosting and or Grambling. So a lot going on.
Well, the team, though, and you know, the black colleges, you know, is the team is North Carolina A&T.
Yeah, A&T. Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say they're ranked 10th or 11th. Now, I don't know who's on the team. I just, you know, you look at the rankings. But, Seth, do you think I'd be that much on Nicholls State? I know my youngest, Bo, went there. But I went to Northwestern.
No, I know, but I was thinking about Bo. I was thinking about Bo here, man.
Yeah. But now Bo's coaching basketball at UNO. So what happens, you end up being a mercenary. You just got to go with the best opportunity from there.
There you go. Okay, we're going to take our first break here. When we come back, we'll dive a little deeper into Saints-Eagles. Also, Alvin Kamara backing up his comments earlier this year, saying the Saints would have beaten the Eagles if they had played in the playoffs last year. We'll hear that. It is Seth Dunlap, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister live out at Rouse's in Metairie, 2900 Vets right across from Trader Joe's here.
And it said, as we go to the break, who would have thunk, Deuce, we doing the OTAs mini camp, that the Saints would be an 8-point favorite against the world champs. Now, you know, that's a lot of points. That's what's scary, 8 points?
It's not enough. It's not enough. I'm telling you, it's not enough.
But in some places, it's nine, and this is the highest.
Now, think about that.
Yeah,
that shows how good the Saints
this
are.
This is the highest, you know, going back, I think it's almost 12 to 15 years, that a Super Bowl champion is a dog.
That much on the dog.
Yeah, on the road, that much.
Which I think should be one of the storylines in the league right now in 2018. We'll talk about that coming back here. It's a special edition of Sports Talk with Deuce Bobby, and I'm Seth here on WWL. And you can come hang out with us live at 2900 Vets at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. You're either local or you're not. They have 49-cent a pound honeysuckle turkey if you're late getting your Thanksgiving dinner together. Bobby, Seth, and Deuce here. And guys, let's talk a little Saints-Eagles here. And like Deuce pointed out, this is the biggest underdog a defending Super Bowl champ has been in a very long time. I think it's going back, 20 years, Deuce? And to be frank, I don't think it's enough. When I saw the line at only 8, I thought it would be 11, 12 points right now. The Saints are playing that well here in the Superdome, and I think it's going to be a rout. And I've analyzed this, and I know you brought up the wounded dog. You brought up the wounded dog, and that's a good point.
What's a rout? Double digits?
In the NFL is a double digit. More than one scores a rout in the NFL, let's be honest here.
I would say a rout if they win 10 or more. If it's double digits, that's –
it's relative. I mean, this 10 points is a rout in the National Football.
Yeah, a rout. Now, you know how I'm a historian a little bit about Saints schedule and –
You're a historian a lot.
Well, yeah, but yeah, that's true. but what has happened against Super Bowl teams? You know, I was surprised the Saints have not had more success.
The returning year.
But this is in the history, dude.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the returning year.
When the Saints have faced a Super Bowl champion, the Saints have posted a 7-21 all-time record, but just 2-11 at home. You know, you would think. Everyone gets up for the Super Bowl champion, and then you feel good. It's a big feather in your cap if you can win. You say, well, every season is a new season, but it still matters that if you want to beat the champ, you got to beat the champ. Until we have the next Super Bowl champion, even though the Eagles have had a disappointed season, they're still the world champs. So just that the Saints not necessarily have had success against past Super Bowl champions that following year.
Well, all Super Bowl chants aren't made the same, and Deuce, like you alluded to, this team's just not playing like they were last year, and I think it's one of the storylines of this season. Do you think this Saints locker room probably pretty quietly optimistic, I suppose, about what's going to happen on Sunday?
Well, I think they understand, you know, the job at task, or at least at hand. There's a couple ways they can approach it. They can go in and think this team is going to lay down, and they're going to get their butts handed to them. And that being the Saints, you know, and they can go in and know that they're going to get their best shot, you know. And what's interesting is you want to see which team is quote unquote battle tested. And when that happens, who's going to make a mistake? Who is going to make that critical mistake at a critical time? When you go back and look at the Saints team, you feel fairly good about them being able to compete the whole entire game. I mean, because let's just go back. To the first game, they still had an outside shot at winning that game, even though you're talking about giving up
a
shootout.
48
points. I mean, but when you go back and look at it, it wasn't a case of, well, they're down 21 and they're out of it. Even, you know, when they were down, they were able to say, hey, look, we can get back into this in this game.
A chance to win.
And give themselves a chance to win. So I think for them – knowing something, let's just say there will be a unfortunate or a bad play. Can they bounce back? You know, can they bounce back and say, hey, look, we're going to hold, whether it's a defense or whether you're talking about offensively. Last 3 weeks, they've really taken advantage of a turnover before the half.
Right.
I mean, they've been able to cause a turnover right before the half, and they've taken advantage of it. You know, going down and scoring.
Getting the momentum.
You swing the complete Minnesota game. I mean, because of a turnover right before the half. The Rams game, it was a complete swing when they were able to get the interception right before the half. Last week, I mean, the interception by Marcus – that's ball game.
And then you get a touchdown.
You get a touchdown. I mean, but that's the ball game. And so, for them, they've been able to create their own luck in a sense. But, you know, you just want to see how they react when something bad happens. And can they bounce back? And I think that they have the confidence and the ability, obviously, to do so.
Well, the thing is, I think two things I'm going to look at. How well does Carson Wentz play? Because Carson Wentz is going to have to play great. He's got to play
but
great.
But he's been playing good.
I'm going to bring it up.
Yeah, he's been playing well.
Deuce, like you're saying, he has played at a high level. His quarterback rating, 115 in the past five contests. He's had 12 touchdowns, two interceptions. He's throwing for 309 yards, but they're only 2-3.
So they even have a chance to say he's got to play great. So let me ask you this. If he throws – for 300 yards, 300-plus yards, do the Saints win?
It depends if he throws any picks. Because the one thing, this is the other thing I was going to say. I look, the way the NFL, you know, we always talk about parity week in and week out. But the Eagles, it's not a Super Bowl champion Eagles team. You minus six. You know, we finally plus two.
Yeah, well, they've had fumbles more so than interceptions.
Yes. Deuce, now, if with the Saints are plus one, plus two, shame on the Saints if they don't win. But I think Carson Wentz can have a 300-yard game, but what's key, he's had 12 touchdowns, only two interceptions.
Yep.
So look at if he's throwing picks or the Eagles are fumbling the football.
They fumbled as a team.
Yeah, as a team. And you know what? They're not taking it away.
No. They're
not taking it away. But what's another thing that bodes well for Drew Brees and the Saints, what they've done since 2006, the Saints have won three of the last four meetings, and Drew Brees is 5-2. So that's one thing.
That includes that playoff game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Drew Brees has had the Saints number. Drew Brees has had the Eagles number. And so when I look at that, and you might say, you know how we didn't have the Ravens number? Hey, we broke history with there. So all of a sudden, if the Saints, again, don't shoot themselves in the foot. I at home, even though they are the world champs, 8-point favorite and all that, they should win. Now, really. And you say it could be a double-digit win, but realistically, can you just win the game?
I'll take one point.
The bottom line is you got to win.
Well, like you alluded to, Bobby, one of the reasons why I think that this Eagles team, in a negative light, is one of the storylines of this 2018 season right there with the Saints offense and Brees and certainly Patrick Mahomes, is their free fall here. And if you would have said that Carson Wentz comes back, has 15 touchdowns, three picks, 110 quarterback rating, they're 4-5, I talked to hundreds of people across the country previewing this NFL season. I'm telling you, not one person thought that this Eagles team would miss the playoffs. This is incredible. This dysfunction there is unexpected and
I want the Eagles in the playoffs to represent the NFC East or the Redskins, not the Cowgirls. So whatever happens, it cannot be Dallas. That's why I'm all in.
It's going to be Washington.
I hope the Redskins. But do you truly trust the Redskins? Don't the Saints look a lot better than the Redskins?
I mean, they're beat up as well. Their offensive line, they have two starters down defensively.
Luck with injuries.
Yeah, and so they're beat up. And so when you look at this team, it would really help the Saints long term if they could knock the Eagles out, because if that team gets healthy – if Sproles is able to come back, Lane Johnson gets healthy. You know, I don't know how long Peters' his shoulder elbow deal is going to last, but I mean, if he gets healthy, they're scary too.
Now, the one thing though, Seth and Deuce, is that you know how every team's trying to have an outstanding secondary, or can your secondary hang? Like you look at the Saints, who are like, oh well, you know, can we get support with Lattimore or whatever? The Eagles secondary is El Succo. That's the thing. If Drew Brees has time to throw, how could he not have success? Because they're going to pick and choose how to attack the Eagles. And that's been a liability now throughout the season. And even more banged up, who they lost? Their top cornerback, Darby. Yeah, so he's out.
Yeah, Sidney Jones should be back, and Jalen Mills is going to be out with a foot injury. So, I mean, you're talking about two of your top three corners that are down, and, you know, they've been promoting guys off of the practice squad.
Well, and you look at taking away the football. This is one thing that I don't care. People say, oh, you say the same thing against Boren Guerin and you're out. But it's the facts. If you look, the first three games, the Saints gave up an average of 34.5 points, 421 yards, 337 passing yards. They only forced one turnover in three games. In the past six games, they only given up 21.5 points, and they forced in nine turnovers.
All right, it's Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. I'm Seth Dunlap, live from Rouse's on Vets in Metairie near Causeway. We're back after news.
Apparently some of their leaders have kind of held on to something you said in the offseason about how, you know, if we had won in Minnesota, we would have killed the Eagles or something like that.
Nah, that's not what I said. What did I say?
Well, I'm paraphrasing, but apparently you got like...
Say what I said. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, I mean, that's I'm going to go... I don't care if we're playing against the Monstars. My team, whatever team I'm on, I'm going to say we're going to win, period. And I guarantee you it's the same way with any other guy in this league that feels strongly about the team that they're on. It's no disrespect. It's no direct disrespect to, you know, I didn't call a name or call, like, direct names. It's just my team against your team. I feel like that's all I'm going to say about that, you know.
Alvin Kamara in a press conference earlier this week talking to our buddy Brett Martell out there. I don't have a problem with what he said there.
Seth,
guys.
What are the Monstars? I know what the Monsters are.
Well, isn't that Space Jam, right?
It would be like a team that's invincible, basically. Right. So he's saying that he has confidence in his ability no matter who.
No, I know what he's saying, but I didn't know.
Isn't that the Monstars? Isn't that who Jordan played against and all those guys? Yeah,
I think you're right, Seth.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, I knew you're a young man, so you were going to, you know, be in that loop right there, so that's why I had
By the way, Alvin Kamara is becoming an all-timer in press conferences. He knows how to work the crowd there. Talking a little Saints-Eagles here, and all the focus is on the Saints offense. But if you really dive into this Saints defense, guys, they're playing really complimentary football here. And it's not just recently. This actually goes back to the Giants game. Here's what they've given up defensively since that Giants game back on September 30th. They gave up 18 points against the Giants, 19 to Washington, 23 on the road to Baltimore, 23 at Minnesota, 14 to Cincinnati. You had the second half, obviously, struggles against Los Angeles.
Right.
But outside of that one half of football, I got to tell you, this Saints defense has morphed into a very complementary unit here to the offense.
Well, and if you look at the way the game is structured, it favored offense, obviously. You look at scoring offense versus scoring defense. And this is kind of a measuring stick, and Greg Williams told me this, is that can you hold an opponent, and then when you're playing with a quarterback like Drew Brees, 20 points or less, then you should not lose. And so I think that's where the Saints are at right now with their scoring defense. I think they could even give up 23 points. Because if you look at, Seth, what we're averaging right now speaks for itself, the number one scoring offense. We're averaging 37 points a game. Now, if you look at since 2006, it's been us, the Patriots, and the Packers averaging 27.5, 28, which is number one. So I even say shame on the defense. If we score 28 points, we should never lose. If your defense is worth their salt, and if you look at what, right, like you said, Seth, and you look at the past six games, we've given up 21.5 points. Well, hell yeah, we could be undefeated because our offense is that efficient. And I think those numbers don't lie. That you look now, what did Sean Payton say 2 weeks ago against the Bengals? Got that number one red zone offense. Can we get better? We can't be 27 red zone defense because that's going to come back to bite you at the end of the season. Look, people could get yards on you. They're going to move the football.
Make them kick a field goal.
Maybe get a takeaway, even though you got a long field, but you stopped them. And so I think that's where we're at right now. The Eagles can have success. But what do you do in red zone defense and then ultimately scoring defense? Because we're going to score. I mean, look, you can score 35 points and a half. Back-to-back games? What is that, a video game?
Yeah, well, it's a little Madden-esque there. I've done that, but only in, like, rookie mode on Madden.
But here's what also has to happen or can't happen. The offense can't turn the football over and put you in
a
negative, negative situation. You talk about pick six, you talk about fumbling, particularly on the plus side of the field. That's, you know, where you're defending or you're coming out of your own end zone. The offense can't put you in that negative situation. And then the other thing that I think maybe gets hidden a little bit, this whole conversation, is the special teams play.
Yeah.
I think the hidden yardage as far as special teams play, we know Morstead hadn't gotten a lot of work here lately, but when he is punting, he's been able to pin teams inside the 10-yard line or at least inside the 15. But then you go back and you look at just the return game. Now, yeah, we would love to hit one.
But our coverage unit's been outstanding.
Yeah, I mean just the return game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we would love to hit one, whether it's on punt or kickoff, and, you know, Taysom, Austin Carr, and Alvin, you know, have done a good job of at least not hurting us as far as returns. But, Bobby, when you look at the coverage unit, Taysom Hill, Banjo.
Hardy.
Hardy. And the linebacker, 59, that they picked up, right?
Beagle.
Yeah. Beagle, you know.
Vince Beagle, named after Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, Wisconsin kid,
that's
right?
Wisconsin. His parents, he's such a Packers fan. He was named after Vince Lombardi,
but
Vince Beagle.
When you look at the work that those four or five guys are doing, whether it's kickoff, whether it's punt, it's impressive. And so a lot of teams, particularly the last 2 weeks, that ball was hanging up. The ball was hanging up right at the one-yard line or right at the goal line. And normally that's always take it out. You know, that's take it out territory. And you see them hold their arms out, that means we're not returning. And I'm like, man, that's a lot of respect. You know, when you say we'd rather take it at the 25 than take it at the one-yard line to be able to see if I can get it further than the 25.
And then, you know, it's a great game Saints fans love, that when Morstead is bored because he's not punting.
It's becoming a meme.
And he's asked to warm up. He's warming up like to make sure, man, I got to get the snap down for the field goal's extra point. And that's how he was warming up. So that's a great thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you see that. We come back, I want to elaborate also what Deuce is saying about special teams and those hidden yardage and the challenges that the Eagles might face. Maybe you can look at the break. Who's Deke Carter? He's not even on the roster, but he's averaging 10.5 yards a punt return. He's had 10. So a good enough sample size because Sproles is out.
Well, Tate returns as well.
We are averaging, this is unbelievable, we're number four. Punt coverage, 5.4, 5.5 yards, but they getting 10 yards. That's another area. Can maybe we stop the Eagles have a big punt return?
Saints-Eagles tomorrow, national game, 3:25. Our coverage starts at 11 a.m. with Fans First Take right here on WWL. It's Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. I'm Seth Dunlap. We're live out at Rouse's at 2900 Vets in Metairie. That's right off of Causeway. Join us out here till 1 o'clock. We're back after this, taking your calls and texts. Phone number is 504-260-1870, and the text line is 870-870. Back after this. Now, some of that produce out here I'm going to grab before I go home. I think I got $2.99 a pound asparagus, 99 cent a pound broccoli. Stock up here, Rouse's.
Vegetables. That ain't no produce, man. Them vegetables you talking about, man.
Wait. Am I missing something here? Isn't produce vegetables? Man.
Nah, it's a difference.
What's the difference?
Produce is fruit. And apples and oranges and then vegetables, you know the chart, the pie chart.
Yeah.
All right.
The pyramid, up. Pyramid.
The pyramid.
Yeah.
Pyramid chart. You know what I'm
talking
about.
Man, I ain't got deuces back on this.
Yeah?
I don't.
You don't.
Oh, okay, okay.
I don't. No, produce is vegetables, fruit.
I thought so too. But you know what the weird thing is?
They're separate. You combine them, but it's a difference.
Yeah, it could be where you live too. I always thought
it was veggies produce. But you know what's weird is I'm not a big fruit like guy. I like veggies. I know I'm weird. Like I was kind of the kid that liked asparagus and all that.
So what?
Junk.
Do you, apples and oranges? You call them those vegetables, or what do you call them?
I mean, fruit.
Okay.
See, all
so you got to split it.
I guess.
I mean,
I got to disagree with you, dude. I don't disagree with you a lot, dude.
Lemons and limes. What do you call lemons and limes? Those aren't
citrus.
Vegetables.
Citrus.
Is it produce?
I think so.
Yes, it's produce.
I think actually, and we're looking over here at this side of Rouse's. Anything that's over there on that side
it's
of
produce?
Rouse's is produce
okay.
To me. You got the veggies. You got the fruit. You got the citrus. It's all.
It's
there.
All good for you. We'll agree there.
Well, right. I remember Hokie used to say, "I don't know all that." produce stuff and all that. He goes, where's the meat section? He goes,
just give me the meat, baby.
He goes, I'm not a rabbit. I don't
that sounds like Hoke. Talking a little Saints Eagles here, and, you know, we're picking on Deuce a little bit. You know who's going to get picked on are these Saints linebackers a little bit by maybe the NFL's best tight end.
Zach Ertz.
Who, look, his career high is 77 receptions. He has 75 coming into this game. Yep. He's going to set that. We got to talk about Michael Thomas's 87-89% catch rate. He's a 75% for a tight end, which is very good. Five touchdowns.
Well,
he's
like
going to be a problem. He's going to be a problem.
They use him like a receiver, I mean, because he spends the most time in the slot. So they flex him out. So for Saints fans, it's almost like Jimmy Graham, maybe not as physical going across the middle, but that's who he is, and that's what he does as far as being the blanket for Carson Wentz. He's basically the blanket, and so he splits out, and he's making plays for him.
Well, and
We got more important stuff to talk about
Okay.
here. Brian Brocato is the store director here at Rouse's. All right, we just had a debate here. Produce.
Brian,
Deuce says veggies in the produce.
Don't feel pressure. No, tell the complete story. Tell the complete story.
Okay, we were talking about produce, and I said you got these specials on asparagus and broccoli, and Deuce says I shouldn't throw that in produce.
I said that's not fruit. I said because we were talking about the fruits. And
well,
I
that's
said,
not
that's,
fruit.
I
never
said, that's
wait.
Not fruit.
I didn't do it. It's not what you said. Wait, we need to where I want Joey Falgu. Put up the tape.
Rewind the tape.
Yeah, rewind the tape. Okay.
But some other stuff we got going on. We want to tell you what sales that you have here today going on, and then we'll rewind that tape and clarify the fruit and the produce.
Okay, Brian, come on. Yeah, what is categorized as produce? Help us out here.
He's looking like, what are you guys talking about?
I know. It's Saturday morning, guys. But.
All right, I'll clear the air. In the produce department, everything fresh is considered produce when it comes to fruits and vegetables. Whether it's asparagus, whether it's broccoli, celery, anything that comes fresh from our suppliers is considered produce, as long as with the fruit. Now, we do have those types of vegetables throughout the store, but for the most part, it's mostly in the produce.
All right, I got a hardball question for you here. What's your biggest produce seller for Thanksgiving? You can't put, like, potatoes and sweet potatoes and stuff in that. It's probably up there.
There's several items. Sweet potatoes is a big one. The Guidry's seasoning mix is another big one.
Oh, there you go.
Got
celery,
some pumpkin pie.
Shallots. Those are big items. Cauliflower, broccoli.
Yeah.
All of those items are made, whether you're preparing dishes or you are preparing a casserole or whatever the case may be. But those are big items.
Yeah, we're telling everybody to come out here to Rouse's at Vets. And you guys are open until midnight now. Is that
correct?
Right?
We're open. Our new store hour is 6 a.m. to midnight, 7 days a week.
All right, Brian, thank you for settling that debate.
Now,
thanks
Brian,
so much.
I need to know. Hold on. Before you go run off, I want to know the fruits and the vegetable argument that we have in here now. I mean, we're saying that they go together because they're fresh. But outside of that, you can't lump those two together. He don't even know.
He does. I mean, he does. He just told us he does.
Dude, you got to humble yourself.
If this was TV,
Brian's
look right here to Deuce.
Listen,
I have a question for Deuce.
Okay.
When you go shopping in a grocery store and you come to a store like Rouse's, where would you go to get your fresh fruits and vegetables?
Aisle number one. Aisle number one. That's where I'm going. You know where aisle number one is, right?
Listen.
As soon as you come into the store, go to the right.
You go
that's
outside.
Aisle number one.
Listen, outside, if you want to live healthy, you shop on the outside of the store, the perimeter.
If this was Jeopardy, it would be incorrect. The answer would be, what is the produce section? Right? Is that right, Brian?
That's considered the perimeter of the store.
Brian Brocato, thank you so much. Store director out here at Rouse's, Deuce McAllister, Bob Haber, and Seth Dunlap here on a special edition of Sports Talk. We'll be right back. All right, the great produce debate rages on. We got to take a break for news. When we come back, it's been blowing up social media. More Drew Brees disrespect, again from a national network, this time Bleacher Report. Former NFL quarterback Chris Sims and his partner Lefko. Yeah, they went after Drew. We'll play that. And we will discuss. Plus, we'll talk about a little LSU and also Pelicans. They won last night. AD nearly 50-20. It was absurd.